A Navy SEAL demoted for a breach of discipline will be allowed to retire this weekend with his original rank and membership in the elite unit, and a planned disciplinary hearing for him will be scrapped. The controversial case involving Chief Petty Officer Edward Eddie Gallagher caught the eye of President Trump, who took to his defense and demanded the SEAL retain his rank. The case led to the firing of Navy Secretary Richard Spencer over the weekend. The controversy surrounding the case and Trump's involvement highlights the role of the president as commander-in-chief and how the armed services take orders and cues from the White House. Nora Bensahel is a visiting professor of strategic studies at Johns Hopkins University. Nora, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Can you give us a little more about the backstory of the Navy SEAL Petty Officer Gallagher? What was he accused of doing that led to this court-martial?
He was accused of several different war crimes and was tried in the military justice system in a trial that was very complicated and ended up in charges of prosecutorial overreach. Nevertheless, he was convicted of one charge of the seven that he was charged with for posing with a corpse of a captive. Because of that, even though he was cleared of the other charges, President Trump decided to intervene when the Navy decided to demote his pay grade and his rank and to reinstore his rank so that he would retire at the rank that he was when he was charged of these crimes. What generated great controversy, though, was he is a member of the Naval Special Forces, which are known as the SEALs, and the head of the Naval Special Warfare Command decided to convene a board to examine whether he should be allowed to retire with the trident. That's the symbol of the Navy SEAL community. And it was that caught President Trump's eye again and resulted in the latest dust-up about whether he should be allowed to retire with that or not.
That's that particular case. Big picture, what authority does the American president have when it comes to overriding military disciplinary decisions?
Well, it's very clear that he has the authority to intervene in cases of military justice, just as he does in the civilian justice system. The president can pardon whomever he wants in either the, you know, civilian legal system or the military system. But he does have the right also to give specific orders as the commander-in-chief about administrative issues. So no one is challenging the president's right to have done this, to have intervened in the case of the Trident. What has become very controversial, though, is whether he should have done so, because that kind of administrative hearing is traditionally the purview of senior military officers who are charged with maintaining the phrase good order and discipline. That's one of the things that they must maintain within their services. And the reason why there has been so much military pushback against this is I'm not aware of any case where the president has dived in so deeply into the administrative procedures that military leaders use to ensure good order and discipline in the ranks.
I want to hear arguments on both sides of this. First, from the president, he talked about Gallagher's case yesterday. Here's some of what he had to say.
With Eddie Gallagher, you know that story very well. They wanted to take his pin away, and I said, no, you're not going to take it away. He was a great fighter. He was one of the ultimate fighters. Tough guy. These are not weak people. These are tough people. And we're going to protect our warfighters. And I've been given a lot of thank yous.
And then Navy Secretary Richard Spencer, who was dismissed, we'll get into that in a bit. But he talked to CBS Evening News this weekend following his dismissal. He said this case sends a bad message.
You can get away with things. We have to have good order and discipline. It's the backbone of what we do.
So protecting the warfighters versus the need to protect good order and discipline in the U.S. military, Nora.
Well, Spencer is right that good order and discipline is absolutely essential for the chain of command to function. Trump's argument is undercut by the fact that most Navy SEALs disagreed with his decision on this. There have been members of the community who have been very outspoken and members of the military in general who have criticized the president for interfering in these administrative proceedings. Gallagher is very unpopular within the SEAL community because his fellow SEALs appeals believed that the things that he did were against the code of conduct of the moral, the honor and duty and discipline that comes with being a SEAL. And so, President Trump does describe him as heroic and a warfighter. His colleagues don't view him that way. And at the end of the day, former Secretary of the Navy Spencer is right about the military's need to be able to ensure that it administratively punishes those who do not fit the template of good order and discipline in the ranks and seek to undermine it.
Talking to Nora Bensahel, visiting professor of strategic studies at Johns Hopkins University, about the president intervening in a few cases, actually, of military discipline in the U.S. military. Let's get in now to Richard Spencer, as you say, now former Secretary of the Navy. It gets a little complicated, the circumstances leading him to, he didn't really resign, he put in a thing acknowledging his dismissal. Can you lay out how that all played out?
Yeah, it's not entirely clear, as you said, exactly what happened, other than the fact that Spencer is no longer the Secretary of the Navy. The reporting so far seems to indicate that Spencer was working directly with the White House to come up with some sort of deal whereby the president would not intervene in the process of reviewing whether Gallagher should keep the SEAL Trident or not, but that Spencer, would guarantee that Gallagher would continue to receive it. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper apparently was not aware of this, although Spencer says he told Esper's chief of staff. And because Esper and reportedly also chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, were trying to work with the president to avoid his interference in this process, Esper was very frustrated that Spencer seemed to be going around him straight to the White House and undermining the deal that that Secretary Esper and Chairman Milley were trying to work with the White House. So ironically, it seems as though Spencer was fired by Esper not for what he was trying to do substantively. In fact, what Spencer was trying to do would have predetermined the outcome, but for going around the Secretary of Defense, who thought that he was working with the White House directly on a solution to avoid any White House interference at all.
Why would it be so important to, I guess, anyone in the chain of command to not have this direct intervention from the White House?
Because the military feels strongly, and Secretary Esper was reportedly agreeing with the military on this, that there be no political interference in what was considered an administrative matter. Again, the president has the authority to do so as the commander-in-chief, but in doing so broke a lot of norms about where political interference, how far that goes down the chain of command. And again, what this was a routine administrative hearing. This was not an official, a case under the military justice system. The military believes that it should have the authority to prosecute administrative issues without political interference, and that's why there was so much pushback to try to get Trump to change his mind, even though everyone acknowledged that he had the authority to do so if he wished.
And President Trump also has pardoned a couple of other service members. In one case, it was someone who was awaiting a trial. Another, I believe, had already been convicted. How does that fit into all of this?
Well, it's part of a larger pattern of the president intervening when he believes that the military justice system either isn't taking fair account of what he considers to be the actions of warfighters in the middle of combat. You are right that he did issue two pardons, and the one that was more controversial was the one where the case of an Army major who had not gone to trial yet. I'm not sure that there's a precedent either. Again, there's no one questions the authority, but I don't think there's a precedent for intervening in the trial of someone in the military justice system who has not yet been through the full legal process, had not yet been convicted. The other one was less controversial for the mechanism of intervening. You know, people can debate about whether he should have been pardoned or not, but, you know, that was the presidents have done that before, and that was seen as, you know, consistent with previous precedent.
Compared with militaries around the world, what generally is the reputation of the American military when it comes to having a well-disciplined personnel?
the U.S. military is seen worldwide and by its own leaders and by its own service members as being extremely well disciplined. I can't tell you the number of military officers and retired personnel who have pushed back very hard against President Trump for intervening in this way, because they believe that it undermines the ability of the military to, again, to keep that good order and discipline and make sure that its personnel, when they are, even when they are in the worst elements of combat, adhere to the laws of armed conflict and to all precedents about how you treat, what is considered permissible conduct on the battlefield. Each of the people who have been charged in these cases and that Trump has pardoned, or in Gallagher's case, restored his rank as well, are considered cases where, by the military people, where individuals acted way outside what they should have done according to the expectations of service members. And that's why military people have been among the strongest critics of these cases.
We're talking to Nora Bensahel, visiting professor of strategic studies at Johns Hopkins University. She's with us to talk about the role of the U.S. commander-in-chief in light of recent controversies surrounding the president, the military, and a Navy SEAL, and other interventions by President Trump into military discipline. We'll go to your calls now. Jeremy is with us in Racine. Jeremy, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I believe President Trump was well within his rights to intervene. He is at the top of the chain of command in all military branches. When you join the military, and like I was, President Trump was at the very top of your chain of command. He has the authority to intervene at any time if he feels that he has to. And it's a lawful order that he's done. He ain't doing anything unlawful. So I don't see anything wrong with it. And the military has falsely accused Navy SEALs in the past for prisoner abuses and dragged out massive trials on countless occasions. So they're not always a perfect justice system either. So if he feels that he had to intervene, I'm all for it. I'm fine with it.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for the call. So Jeremy's saying, hey, the military justice system can get things wrong. And you made the analogy with the pardon system earlier. It's there, I guess, for the president to say, hey, you got this one wrong.
Yeah, that's right. And Jeremy is exactly correct. No one is disputing that the president has the authority to do what he did. The question is whether it was wise and whether it undermines the military's ability to ensure good order and discipline among the ranks, to self-police on what it considers very essential issues about maintaining the proper behavior on a battlefield. That's what's in question here, not whether it was legal or not. Of course, it was a legally constituted order that the Secretary of Defense then duly followed. I should also add that this administrative hearing about whether to take away the Trident or not is not unique to Gallagher. This is a routine administrative thing that happens and has happened quite a number of times in recent years. The special operations community as a whole, not just the Navy SEALs, but the special forces of other services as well, have had quite a number of disciplinary and order problems that the individual services are trying to address. So this is not unprecedented for Gallagher to have been facing this kind of administrative hearing. In fact, many SEALs who have not done the things that that Gallagher was convicted of have also undergone such hearings and had their tridents taken away as well for things that were of far less serious consequence that did not involve the military justice system at all.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Madeline in Green Bay. Madeline, hello.
Hello. Trump, he was never in the military. He was a draft dodger. And he doesn't think that he should be held accountable for anything that he does. And so he wants to make it so that our military is also not held accountable for things, what they do. And we are becoming a nation that is becoming dishonorable. And if we want to be a honorable nation, not a dishonorable nation, we have to hold our people accountable.
Madeline, thanks for the call. So honor and accountability, Madeline's talking about, Nora.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of concern about that, again, because the behaviors that even the one that that Gallagher was convicted of does undermine the ability of U.S. military forces to conduct their operations effectively and in accordance with the rule of law. And that's why these cases have been so very significant.
Thanks a lot for the call, Madeline, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Nora Benzahel at Johns Hopkins University about the power of the president and interventions in cases of military discipline. Nora, I think underlying some of this is an attitude from President Trump and many others that, you know, if we hold too closely to these rules in war zones, we might be tying the hands of our military officers and enlisted folk. This is actually hampering their ability to effectively pursue America's military goals.
I have never heard a single military officer espouse that view. In fact, when they talk about this publicly and privately, they are far more concerned that people who do things that are not in accordance with the laws of war on the battlefield undermine the entire U.S. military, not just credibility, but its ability to execute its orders. It is precisely in the situations where there's the chaos of the battlefield, where things are complicated and where death and destruction are all around, that you want people's training to take over, to use force only in the way that is authorized by their commanders. That gives them plenty of opportunity to conduct operations, and if there are problems with specific commanders doing so, that can work its way up the chain of command. But no military officer that I have ever spoken to or heard of has ever articulated the view that the president has on this.
Let's go back to our callers. Mike is on the line in Oconomowoc. Mike, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I kind of find it interesting because it's sort of a violation of the military discipline when I hear things about colleagues of this individual talking badly about him, you know, outside the ranks. That's sort of something that you are drilled in the military. We were all drilled that that's not something that you do. So I'm always concerned about that because it seems like this ends up casting the entire system, you know, into a bad light. And then we get like the caller that just came on saying that this one event and all these things that are, you know, corresponding of it, you know, kind of goes against the whole entire, like we're headed to this Armageddon.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Nora, it's one thing, Mike saying, I think for a Navy SEAL to talk about these issues within the military justice system, but it looks like some may have been talking to the press. Is that a problem?
This whole issue raises a very profound question about the proper scope of civil-military relations, the relationship between the military and its political overseers. We have civilian control over the military in this country for a reason. We want the military to be held in check by those that we elect to the nation's highest offices. But again, that the boundary of where and when political leaders should intervene in the system is not cut and dried, although the authority is, you know, where the appropriate line is, where military leaders should be allowed to discipline their forces themselves versus having political interference in military decisions. And again, I think that's one of the reasons this has been so controversial and why you're hearing such discussion about it is because the norms of where the proper balance is in that relationship between the military and its civilian overseers is being contested and being pushed by the president in ways that no president has done before.
In our last minute, the Daily Beast is reporting that two officials have confirmed that the president wants the service members he pardoned to campaign for him. The Washington Examiner reporting that Gallagher's lawyer says he would endorse the president and campaign on his behalf if asked to do so by the president. What do you make of this if it bleeds over to campaign 2020?
I think it's a terrible precedent to have any military officer who has any notoriety, such as those pardoned in these cases, or any general officer or Navy admiral to be endorsing candidates one way or the other, precisely because it sends a message of politicization. It suggests that there are certain leaders in the military who endorse one political party or another. That has many, many negative effects on how civilian elites view their military military advisors, and it fundamentally undermines the tradition of the military as a nonpartisan institution. I think it would be very dangerous if these individuals did this, and I think it's also a terrible idea for any retired generals and admirals who are public figures whose names are in the press to do so as well.
Nora, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Nora Bensahel is a visiting professor of strategic studies at Johns Hopkins University. She joined us today to talk about the controversy at the heart of a case involving a Navy SEAL, the president, and the U.S. military discipline system.